So, Rich, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. By including HDPhotoHub.com, you just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
Wow, that seems pretty easy. What do I do to get started?
It is easy, and all you have to do is register today at hdphotohub.com. And if you're using the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
Yeah, free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Shooting Spaces. And how are you today, Rich?
Super, super great, Brian. I'm just working and we're talking about the all the great stuff coming up and getting excited because it's just around the corner of the conference and...
We got the webinar this week.
We got our webinar. Yeah. And the webinar is going to be great. And all those things. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah. We're all super pumped. I was speaking to Tony about the webinar the other day, and he said he's been going through a lot of the images people submitted, and he's got a lot of good things to talk about. So it's going to be a fun night.
Well, I'm really trying to impress to people that this is, you know, learning composition isn't as fun and sexy and as buying gear and learning lights and cameras and stuff like that. But it's so much, in reality, so much more important. It is something that is, it translates directly to experience and money. I mean, and so it's really something I've really tried to talk to the people I talk to. How important composition is and how it's really your responsibility to learn it. And it goes from basic real estate photography to, you know, doing full-blown designer architectural shoots. So.
Yeah, no, cool. You've been shooting a lot, busy.
You know, it's I got this theory that kind of the June, July, the kids are out of school.
You got the July 4th weekend. Yeah.
July 4th weekend completely screwed me up because it was on Thursday. What's up with that? But it's just a kind of people, a lot of cancellations, a lot of people saying, oh, the client just pulled out, didn't want to sell right now. And it's understandable. And it just seems to go that way every year. But luckily, I've got my wedding photography. I've been inundated. Like we did 7 weekends in a row of weddings.
Wow.
And I got a couple more coming, got like 6 or 8 more this year. But I've been very busy there and just enjoying it. And the summer's so great. And the weather in California has been perfect. So really nice, really nice. How's the weather in, we're reduced to talking about weather. How's the weather in New York?
It's July in New York. It's muggy, humid, smelly. What else? Any other adjectives I can give you?
We've got earthquakes, though. I did see that. Yeah, no, we're hundreds of miles away from the earthquake. But man, that is, what a trip.
Two in a row, huh? Two big ones in a row.
Two? Yeah, no, they had like a 7-pointer and then a 6-pointer and then a bunch of 6s, bunch of 5s, bunch of 4s, and like 1,000 so far. Just
yeah, I thought there was two major ones and then a bunch of like tons of aftershocks, or maybe I'm wrong.
They're talking about the major one, 7.1, but they're saying that the one that was biggest the day before, 6-something, was the was just a precursor to not even the earthquakes. I don't know, but anyway, it's out in the desert.
Well, if any of our listeners are out there, we wish you all the best and hope you guys are safe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got some Ask the Guys questions. We have a bunch in, and as we mentioned in the last episode or two ago, we're going to be cutting off for a couple of weeks just to kind of gather up all our stuff personally between our businesses and the webinars and everything else we have coming out. So I think this is going to be the last Ask the Guys we have before we cut off for a little while. So we're going to probably do 2 today and try to get some of them in. And if you submitted and we haven't gotten to yours yet, hopefully we'll pick back up when we start up again in a few weeks. So without further ado, I will bring you guys the first question.
Hi, Rich and Brian. My name is Megan, and I work for a company called Kelco in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. I do most of their real estate photography for custom and spec homes that they build. And I am working with an older camera, a Sony Alpha 390. So it's from way back now. And I was wondering if you guys had any tips for people who might be using older cameras or older equipment. Maybe it's just one of those you have to invest in newer stuff, but I just wanted to know your guys' thoughts because it can be tricky to do some of these newer techniques with older equipment.
Wow. All right, Megan from Lake Havasu City. And I've never been out there, but my brother goes out there once a year to Lake Havasu City. He loves it. Just goes out and parties on the lake and has a good time. So I hear it's great out there.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look up the stats. So it's 2010, June 2010. It's a crop sensor. It's got image stabilization, which is nice. Sensor CCD. It's DSLR, so it's not mirrorless, and it's a Sony, and 14.2 megapixels. So, you want to start, Brian?
Well, what'd you say, 14.2 megapixels? So I think the resolution is definitely high enough for any type of real estate work you're doing, any type of MLS work. So as far as quality of the camera, I don't see that that's a problem. And, you know, look, the truth of the matter is, we say this all the time, you know, your equipment is only a small part of it. It's what you know how to do with lighting and composition. As you just said, you know, 10 minutes ago, composition is such a lost art and people don't really pay attention to it. I mean, you know, if you compose a shot really well on a really top of the line point and shoot, I would imagine it would look good. So, I'm not telling anyone to go out and get a point and shoot, but that being said, yeah, I mean, based on the specs you just said, I don't see why that's something you can't go out and shoot real estate with. Now, obviously, you know, you said 2010, it's a 9-year-old camera, you know, approaching a decade old. So there's a lot of new technology out there that you will definitely benefit from with a newer camera. You know, especially a lot of the autofocus stuff, which we're not really doing in what we do, unless, you know, you are shooting with like an autofocus zoom lens or something like that. And you do use that, you know, and obviously if you go mirrorless, you have the EVF, which, you know, I'm in love with now that I'm on mirrorless. I don't know how I dealt without an EVF for the last God knows how many years of my life. And I know, Rich, you've been telling me for God knows how long, go mirrorless and get the EVF, but it's incredible.
It is really something, and we could do a whole show on EVF, but I think you touched on some good points, and I'll add that couple of things. I mean, older cameras, I had cameras like the Nikon D700, which was 12 megapixels.
And that
was
I had the Nikon D700 when I used to be Nikon years ago.
And the cameras, in my opinion, the cameras have come a long way on things like ISO or noise sensitivity to noise. And even the D700 was a huge jump from the D300. But luckily, we don't really have to deal with that much noise issues, because I feel that, I mean, I shoot at ISO 4 or 500. I've been shooting at ISO 500 lately. By the way, I think we need to discuss sometimes how the changing your aperture, bringing your aperture down to as low as you can, and bringing your ISO up really helps you get more effective power from your lights. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you have anything to worry there, because no matter how old the sensor is, I think it'll be fine for real estate. A DSLR is fine. You don't need a mirrorless, although, again, EVF is great. It is more than enough pixels, because I used to shoot, I've had billboard shot with 12 megapixel photos. So it's not really that big of a deal, because it's MLS. It is really more up to you're comfortable with it. I think you're fine there. It's a crop sensor, but honestly, I shoot crop sensors 75% of the time for real estate. I shot crop sensor yesterday, and it's all good. I think that I would be most interested to know if you have your good lenses and if your glass is good, I think you're good to go. And I think I'd much rather see you spend money on education, watching the webinar and composition and education, and spend the time on if you need to get better lighting or more lighting, things like that. I think that would be really helpful. But I think your camera's fine. And don't let people tell you you need a full-frame camera at all. I'm on the bandwagon saying you really don't need that for what we do. But now for a wedding, I'm not going to shoot crop sensor cameras for a wedding, me personally, anymore. But that's just me.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, now as you're talking, I'm thinking about it. The one drawback to having an older camera, and I don't know how it is with Sony, is if something does go wrong, will Sony support a 10-year-old camera? Or, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, let's say it's something minor where it might be a $100, $200 fix, but Sony says, hey, we don't support this camera anymore. It's 10 years old. Then you got to go out and buy a new camera. So, I don't know if that should sway your decision, but I would make sure that, you know, you can get cameras, you know, support for your cameras, because, you know, we're in the real estate industry. We work these cameras butts off, and you know, a lot of them are workhorses, but Rich, you seem like,
go shoot it till you kill it. Oh my gosh. That's not even a question in my mind.
It's not even till you kill it. I mean, there's a lot of small things, you know, that can go wrong. I had a problem with my Canon, with my battery compartment closing. It wouldn't close properly, and I had to go get it fixed, and it cost me $150. But then what?
Don't get it fixed. Just get a new camera. I tell people loss and damage is the best excuse to go get new gear. But there's no reason that you have to go get it until it breaks. But once it breaks, a 10-year-old camera, get rid of it. You know?
I guess so. Yeah.
It's probably worth about $150. What do you mean?
True. But the truth is also, you know, a camera being 10 years old, if you don't want to go out and buy a brand new camera, you know, you can get something that's 4 or 5 years old, maybe on the used market. And I know a lot of people will probably say they're a little skeptical about buying a used body, but in the same sense, I would gather a used 4-year-old camera is going to be better than a used 10-year-old camera that you currently have. So.
And if you love that camera, you could go get a new one, well, a new used one. And it's probably good and probably super cheap. So,
that's my point. Yeah.
I tell people that in what we're doing, real estate photography, there's just no need for anything. You know, I tell people the greatest camera for the money is the A6000 Sony crop camera. It's just, you know, you can pick them up for $250. I think I sold my last one for $225. So you can pick it up. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I know what you mean about buying used equipment. I used to only buy used stuff on Craigslist, but I'd know who the owner was. I would, you know, figure out if it was a good deal or not. But, I don't think it's a big issue. And again, right now, I think just stay with what you got, and love to see you go get something newer. But then again, your lenses, you probably have to have with Sony, you probably have to have an adapter to go with the E-mount. So then you're talking a whole new ball game. So if you're going to go and make the big switch, then you really should think about it. And also, I didn't mention this, really think about what else are you shooting? I don't know what you're shooting. If you're shooting portraits, you're shooting any kind of sports, you're shooting any kind of movement or people, then you might need events. You might really want to benefit from getting just a nice holding new modern, but a much more modern camera. So those are places to spend your money.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks, Megan, for the question, and enjoy Lake Havasu City out there in the summer. It's probably beautiful out there on the lake.
Probably 125 today.
So. Probably, no yeah. joke. Yeah. All right, cool. Let me play the next question for you, and then we'll get to that. Here we go.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Greg Nowlin of Nowlin Studios in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Only part-time, but have shot sports and portraits, seniors, that kind of stuff. But really love real estate. My wife just became a real estate agent, so plan on doing stuff for her. But my question is, I've shot probably 10 to 12 houses over the last year, and then started studying with Rich and just looking at all the stuff that you do on your videos, and feel like I'm improving a ton. But I would like to know when it's appropriate to use a vertical. Drove past a row of condominiums that were three stories from the driveway and very narrow. And just, I don't know if there's an unwritten rule, and I haven't heard anything in the podcast, but this may be an easy one and a short one to answer, but would love to know your opinion if for MLS shots, if it's ever appropriate for a vertical or just stay with horizontals. Hey, appreciate it, guys. I'm working through the podcast, started from one, probably in the mid-30s at the moment, and we'll finish up and catch up and then just pick up the new ones as they come. Appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you, Greg. I was like doing quick math while he said he's in mid-30s and he's going to catch up. And I'm thinking, let's say our average episode is 30 minutes to an hour and we've done 80. That's a lot of hours of listening to our voices. But thank you, Greg, for that. And you definitely have an advantage having your wife become a real estate agent because you get in the door quick and you can, I don't want to say learn, but you know, you'll have a little bit more leeway to kind of figure out your craft, given the fact that it's your wife versus an actual client. But that is a good question. And I'm surprised we haven't gotten that yet, given the fact that we're at 80 in. So Rich, I'm going to pass that to you. And then, you know, I can give you my opinion or I'll just interject you as far as shooting verticals, because it's an interesting question for the real estate market.
Yeah, I'd like it's a valid question, a valid concern. It's absolutely something that there are example, or there are you know, there's rules, and then there's some exceptions, things like that. But I think the first thing is the reason why, in my experience, the reason why people don't like verticals, and obviously everybody knows that we normally shoot horizontals. Verticals are what a lot of people say never to do. But what I think the bottom line is, the horizontals fit better on most or all MLSs because the format of the framing. Now, I understand each MLS is different. So you may want to check with your MLS because some of them said they're cropping differently. So instead of a 3:2 aspect ratio or 4:6 aspect ratio, they're doing something different. So I can't speak for every MLS, so take it with a grain of salt. But when you're posting most pictures, it is horizontal. And what that allows is for the proper, it is filling up the whole area of the MLS. If you do a vertical, it is generally going to have black bars on the sides. Am I correct on there, Brian?
You are correct. I know this for a fact because I did a shoot probably 4 or 5 months ago where I did a couple of verticals, 2 or 3 verticals. And the client called me, the first time I ever did verticals for this client. And I don't know why I did them. I just saw it and I was like, this will make a good vertical. I'm just going to do it and figure it out after. And the client said to me, why is the shape, she called me after she uploaded to the MLS and said, why is the shape of these images so strange? So I explained to her that they're vertical versus horizontal. And she said, just for the clean look of having my images on MLS, we have to remove those. And I said, or can you crop them? So, you know, I cropped them horizontal for her and they obviously didn't look as good as my original composition, but I do completely understand where she was coming from. So I get it.
Yeah. So I think here's a couple of things I'd like to interject. And I talk about this at workshops and such. And I don't think I've ever dealt with it in a video, but it's a really great, great subject. So it doesn't really cut off the top of your image, but it just makes it, if you imagine the vertical is going to go in a horizontal box. So you've got open space on the sides. Now, here's the deal. I think it all boils down to getting your understanding with your client, with your agent. If you ask them, and when you get a new client, it's the perfect opportunity to have a discussion. And in your interactions in the first few shoots, find out what they like. Do you want me to shoot bathrooms? Do you want me to shoot closets? Do you want me to shoot garages? Then you can add in, you know what? This is a great vertical shot because we could be dealing with something like a shot of a stove. or a shot of a powder room, which would definitely look better in a vertical. But here's a couple of tips. One is do it vertical and do it horizontal. And that's why it's a great idea to own an L bracket, because that way you can keep your same shot horizontally, your same composition, your tripod exactly the same, and then just rotate your camera and shoot vertically. So that's one option.
Yeah, you took those words right out of my mouth. That's what I was going to suggest. If you want to try vertical, mm-hmm. just because you think it's more creative, get a horizontal just to cover your bases.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but, you don't have to change your lighting. It's nothing but literally flipping the camera over.
Yeah. So here's a couple of more tips. I do it for when it's necessary, and I will mention it generally. Hey, I did a couple of verticals. You don't have to use them. And that's the thing. I always say, I might take shots that they may not use, but I'll mention to them, you know what? You can use it or not. It's up to you when you see it. And another thing to think about, and I've told people this and it works great. What you can do is take two vertical shots and put them side by side, and it makes a horizontal shot. Now, that could be, usually I do that with two shots that are sort of together. Like if I had two powder room shots, I'd put them side by side. If I had a detail shot of a nice stove and a nice sink, I might do two verticals together. Now, I have an application called Blog Stomp, and it's, you can do the same thing in Photoshop, where it's really important, in my opinion, to have the ability to have a frame around each vertical. So you, if you can put them together, you can see a little line. So it separates the images, because if you put two of them together, I guarantee you somebody's going to be looking at it and they're not looking at the beautiful picture of the house. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on there, because you can't tell it's two different photos. Mm-hmm. So if you have the ability to put a frame in there, and I use Blog Stomp, so all I have to do is put the two photos in there, choose the framing, and it gives me a space between the images. It's super.
That's an app for your phone?
No, it's an app for my desktop. I don't think they make it for a phone, but there's tons of apps out there. But what it's great for is if you're doing blog posts, you can put in 10 photos, you drag them in, and they put it into a configuration that they all have the borders and the framing. And it's just fast and easy. The only negative, and I haven't figured out a workaround, is they only come out like 600 or 700 600 or 700 kilobyte files. So they're very small files, file size. But I've never gotten a complaint.
I don't think that's bad. For MLS, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're not doing anything much more. I'm looking at it now at the app. Those smaller file sizes are fine for MLS.
Yeah. So it's a really, really effective tool. So put the two side by side. And of all the tips I put out there in the web and my YouTube channel, that has been the one that most people are just going, oh, that's a great idea, really cool. And I don't know if I invented it, but it just seemed to be a good idea. And it's another way, too, of getting in just your detail shots. And I'd like to add one more thing to this. I want, especially the people that are new to this, I want people to understand that when you're in a house and you've got a beautiful stove, let's say you get a Wolf stove that is a good solid $7,000 to $15,000, make sure you get a detail shot of that and you feature it, because it's really important. And I had an agent get kind of upset going, you didn't take a picture of that? That's worth more. That's the most important thing in the whole house. So I always do detail shots of something really nice and worthwhile. So
true. And I think what you mentioned earlier, the communication with the client is one of the most important things, to just explain to them what you're doing. I mean, I had a shoot today, and the first thing I did when I walked into today was a little bit of a different example, because it wasn't directly for a real estate agent, but I walked into the client and I said to them, what are your means of marketing this property? Because I might want to shoot some verticals here. Is that doable? You know, and I know in this particular circumstance, he said, we're not going to MLS unless we can't sell it. You know, we're just going through our inner channels, whatever they're doing internally. We're just going to pass the images around. So I said, okay, that's perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. That means I can go all out and do any compositions I want, because it's just being passed around internally. And then if they need to go with a broker and do it that way, then they'll just won't use my verticals or go another way. I think Zillow handles verticals a little bit better than most MLSs, though. Or they don't? Same thing?
Well, no. Is it down to Zillow? An MLS is everything would be the same, wouldn't it be? I'm not an expert on MLS. Wouldn't, though, if you have Zillow or you have Remax or whatever, you see it there.
Well, because you can add images separately to Zillow beyond their MLS. So, for instance, here on Long Island, our MLS is 20 images. But
I wish.
Yeah.
Ours is 99.
Oh, geez. Wow. I can't even imagine.
I don't provide
I'm them. Dreading the day that my clients ask me for that. That's why my package starts at 20 images, because that's my MLS. Okay. So let's say 20 images from MLS feed to Zillow, but let's say I shot 30 images and my client wants to add the 10 remaining images to Zillow. If he goes directly to Zillow and uploads those 10, if they're verticals, I think will stay vertical. Now, I could be incorrect, and if I am, and you're out there and you're listening and you know that I'm incorrect, please send me a message so I know the story there, because I'd like to know, and I definitely do not want to be feeding you incorrect information. But as far as my understanding is, and I can probably look at it while we speak, just find the listing and look, you can upload directly to Zillow vertical shots, and I'll see if I can find something.
Really, a word of advice is to try and reach out to your local MLS, because they're all different. But I will use a word of caution. I tried to reach the person that would know details and pixels and things like that. They knew nothing. So I think if you have the interest, I'd say contact your local MLS, but don't expect the answer there. So maybe talk to somebody else. But I know there's a lot of really contrary information out there on MLSs. So.
Yeah, the one image, the one listing that just popped up that I clicked on MLS has on Zillow, I'm sorry, has everything cropped 4x5. So it's even a strange crop to begin with. Yeah, it's a strange crop to begin with. So I'm not sure if this particular photographer just uploaded this like this or. If Zillow, a bunch of Zillows.
And there's like not this. A lot you can, you know, a lot of people amp out about, get really excited about, oh, I looked at my pictures, they look like crap and this and that. And I'm like, get over it. It's out of your control. And, it's just like Luxury Home Magazine. I have a relationship with the company is where we live in El Dorado Hills here. And I have been looking at their digital magazine. Now, this is a high-end, they pay a lot of money to get their pictures on there. You look at the web version of this magazine, the digital copy of the magazine, the formatting, at least on my browser, is terrible. You can barely read it. It's all jumbled and crazy. And I've contacted them several times, say, hey, man, just wanted you to know you should look at this and look into this because your stuff isn't showing right. And they said, thanks for letting us know. And they don't do anything about it. So it's really out of your hands.
Yeah, it's weird. I know what you're saying, and I've seen that on some digital magazines. I almost feel like
they don't care.
Either they don't care or they don't realize how much more important the digital magazines are than the actual print magazines nowadays.
Just don't care. That's it, man. And you try and anyway, it just disappoints me.
They don't care, so then you stop trying.
Right? Well, you spend a lot of time and energy to make your images look as good as possible. And then it goes out there on the web and it just doesn't look good. It's really weird. Like Facebook, sometimes your images look really weird on Facebook and nothing you can do about it sometimes. I mean, so.
I just went through about 10 listings on Zillow, mm-hmm. and not one of them have a vertical image. So I still don't know after all that. But I did find some of my listings that I've shot up here. So, I don't see any verticals. But that doesn't mean they don't take it. I just don't see anyone has uploaded verticals. So again, if you do know the answer to that, please shoot me a message or Rich a message and let us know. So.
And again, all MLSs are different. They're local things. And so, take everything with a grain of salt.
True. All right, cool. So, Rich, I think that about does it for the day. We have two more weeks of episodes coming up. Next week, we have a great interview coming up. And then the last week, which I think is July 30th. Let me look up the date. Yes, July 30th. We are going to be speaking with Brandon Cooper, from the owner of PFRE, and he's going to be, I guess, giving us a state of the conference. So if you listen, that's definitely an episode to tune into. He has a ton of new announcements, new people to tell us about. And he's going to be coming on. We're going to be releasing it on the 30th of July, and he's going to let us know everything that's upcoming with the mm-hmm. the new conference. Any new details he has to share or announce, he's going to let it all out. So that's going to be a great episode, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and please, everybody, be aware that webinar we've got coming up with Tony Colangelo on composition, and he's going to be critiquing your images. It's a great opportunity, super important. I mean, I can't stress about it how important it is. And, you know, it's something that is going to be enjoyable, but I promise you're going to look back in this and go, oh my God, I had no idea how that was so important. And you'll look at your images and look at the way you compose images in a different manner. You know, you can also see Tony in a past podcast. And also, Tony's got some kind of thing going with his tutorial, right?
Yeah, he has a tutorial out for sale.
And
so, oh, and he's offering, well, you know, it's tough because I was gonna say this, but the webinar is 2 days away. And we're recording this several days before mm-hmm. we release it. So right now we have some open seats. I don't know day right now, Tuesday, the day of this release, if there are still open seats. So if there are still open seats, or I invite everyone to come and check shootingspaces.net/composition, you can go and see and register and see if there's open seats. But if you are able to get in and you register, Tony was nice enough to offer anyone who registers for the webinar 15% off of his tutorial, which he has. Mm-hmm. I think his tutorial is $99. Yeah. So it'll cost you about $85 for the tutorial, which is $15 off, which depending on how you look at it, might make our webinar even cheaper, depending on which way you look at it. But the webinar itself is only $30. So what you're going to get out of it. And, you know, if you do register, please submit your images and we'll, you know, we'll go through them and try to critique as many images as we can in the 90 or so minutes that we do. But if you do register, also, you know, be there to answer, to ask questions. That's what we're there for. And, yeah, you know, Rich and I are going to kind of moderate everyone else that's participating while Tony does his thing and critiques all these images. And I've submitted, I know you've submitted also, Rich. So it's going to be a fun night.
And, you know, as hard as it is to take a critique, I know personally it's hard for me sometimes. And I just think that you got to get over it because you got to get better. You got to move on. So once you just give in and do that and really ask for CC or constructive criticism, it's really going to help you and you're going to grow from it.
Yes, that's been the best thing for me in the last 2 months. As I've said before, I started doing private coaching with Tony, and getting critique from him on my images has been the best thing for me going forward. So I can't stress that enough. Have somebody come on and, you know, images that you're proud of or images that you're not, submit them and we can tell you what's good or bad about them. So yeah, got a lot of good stuff coming up.
And I wanted to show people, and something I just realized, you know what? I think I'm backwards because I'm looking at my wedding ring. And it looks like my right hand, and it's my left hand. And I have a Shooting Spaces shirt on, and it's backwards. So
I see it normal, though.
You see it normal?
I see it normal.
Okay, good. That's all that matters. I thought I was backwards.
No, I just want people
to know, we've got Shooting Spaces t-shirts in different colors and different shapes, and various t-shirts on our shootingspaces.net website. So a lot of fun stuff. I'm going to bring a bunch to Las Vegas and wear them and maybe give some out and have a good old time.
Yeah, we should do some giveaways. Absolutely. We don't do enough giveaways. Maybe some Shooting Spaces giveaways. We'll think of something and maybe for next week's release, we'll do a giveaway or two.
I'll work on our sponsors too, or the people that we work with to see what we can get for the conference. So, and again, if you didn't know what PFRE is, that's hosting the real estate conference, it's Photography for Real Estate, which is a great website.
.net.
And you got to spell it out, Photography for Real Estate.net. And they've got a Flickr group. If you're not familiar with Flickr, Flickr's a great place because you can go and the best in the business are in this website and they will critique your photos. They put their information of lighting information and composition information on each image that you submit. So it's a really great way to learn, and you can search and find some great answers out there. So, yeah, good stuff.
All right, cool. Well, I think that about does it. That about wraps it up for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of great questions. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Greg. Covered a bunch of different topics. Very simple questions, but very relatable. So,
yeah.
Awesome. All right, Rich. So until next time, until next week, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, real pleasure. And I'm looking forward to summer and winding down and getting going in fall. And so many things coming up. And I just want to remind everybody, please go out and really shoot your heart out and shoot some spaces and get new gear. And yeah, go get that new camera. Okay, forget what I said. Just go spend a lot of money and enjoy your mirrorless camera there, Brian.
Thank
enjoying
you.
It. Yeah.
Take care.
Okay. Till next time. This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at HDPhotoHub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES and you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit ShootingSpacesPodcast.com and visit our education site at ShootingSpaces.net.